Man. If you can use anything, Lord, you can use me. You know, on the Palm Sunday that we celebrate today, the Palm Sunday 2,000 years ago, when Jesus rode into Jerusalem, he used a donkey. And that donkey was a donkey of destiny. So that's my title today. A donkey with a destiny. I believe that if God can use a donkey and give a donkey a destiny, I got a chance, huh? I got a chance. I do. So, not to turn if you have your Bibles. I hope you do. Always check me out. But always have your Bibles. If you have them, turn to Luke chapter 19, verse 28. And while you're locating it, I'm going to pray. Oh, Father. Lord, I think every person here has already sensed your Spirit, and I'll either add icing or I'll mess it all up. And I ask you just to use me, Lord. Use my hands, Lord, and my feet. Touch my heart, Lord, and speak through me. If you can use a donkey, you can use me. Help us, Lord. Let us see that you've called us to a destiny. Lord, every person here has something to fulfill and do for you. And I ask it in the name of Jesus. Amen. Let's read a portion of that passage talking about that donkey with a destiny. And then we'll see what the Lord has to say. So in Luke 19, verse 30, here's what it says. Go to the village ahead of you, and as you enter it, you will find a colt tied there, which no one has ever ridden. Untie it. And bring it here. If anyone asks you, why are you untying it? Tell them, the Lord needs it. Those who were sent ahead went and found it just as he had told them. As they were untying the colt, its owners asked them, why are you untying the colt? And they replied, the Lord needs it. They brought it to Jesus. Threw their cloaks on the colt and put Jesus on it. The donkey had a destiny. Jesus didn't just use that donkey. He needed that donkey. His own word said, tell them I need it. Isn't it interesting that a donkey made a difference? That donkey was born to make a difference. You know where I'm going with this, right? You are here to make a difference. You were born to make a difference. And if God can use anything, He can use us. Many of us remember hearing about Palm Sunday. You know, in Sunday school, in our old times, when we were in children in the Sunday school, we would hear about Jesus riding into Jerusalem on this donkey. We remember that it's the Sunday before Good Friday, the Sunday before Jesus was crucified on that Friday, and it was the Sunday before Resurrection Sunday. And so we know about Palm Sunday. And probably the image that sticks with us the most in about Palm Sunday is Jesus riding on that donkey. I was looking at that this week, and I saw that so many verses are given to this donkey ride. Every gospel, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, speak of this donkey ride into Jerusalem. So over 50 verses are given to that one thought in the Bible. Now, if you know your Bible, you know that most chapters aren't that long in the Bible. That is a lot of verses to be given to this donkey ride. We remember that donkey ride. A lot of verses are given to that donkey ride. Why? Why is that donkey ride so important? Why is so much attention given to that donkey ride on that special donkey? Well, I want to give you a couple of good reasons. And I want to first of all show us the scripture which it fulfilled, which that donkey ride fulfilled, and we'll start gleaning from it. So let's look at it in Zechariah 9:9. It says, "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, daughter of Jerusalem. See, your king comes to you." Your what comes? "Your king comes to you, righteous and having salvation, gentle and riding on a donkey," on a colt, the foal of a donkey. See, this ride was much more than a donkey ride into Jerusalem, and it was much more even than a fulfillment of prophecy. You see, it was something very, very special. And I want to talk about two amazing points about this donkey ride on this donkey with a destiny. First point, when Jesus rode into Jerusalem on the back of that special donkey, he created a new world order. Now, we say it in the Bible and we say it around here like the kingdom of God. But what Jesus did was create and declare that he was the king of a new world order. Yep. He would change the world. Amen. And he did. And that ride into Jerusalem was declaring that. You see, he didn't only change the order of Israel and their worship. He changed the world. No longer would Satan rule. Come on. Now he was king. Jesus is king. And now Jesus is establishing a new world order. And he's still doing it. Upon every person that receives him, a new world order is established in your heart and established in your life and established in your home and established in your children. We take note of this in one special way, one obvious way. I'm just going to mention this one just because it is so obvious. You see, because of Jesus riding into Jerusalem on that donkey with a destiny, the calendar changed. We now use B.C. and A.D. Before Christ and Anno Domini, the year of our Lord. History changed. Right? And as he did that, as he came in and did that, see, whether you're a believer or not a believer, Jesus has left an indelible mark upon every person. Either you're a B.C., or you're an AD. See, the Lord needed that donkey. It wasn't just a fulfillment of prophecy. And it wasn't just a ride into Jerusalem. He needed that donkey. And then the second thing, the first thing is he created a new world order. And the second amazing point that I want to make sure that we see is that as Jesus rode in that special donkey, that donkey with the destiny, as he rode that donkey into Jerusalem, he began a series of events that took him to the cross on Friday. You see, had Jesus not ridden that donkey into Jerusalem on Sunday, he would not have gone to the cross on Friday. And he would not have been resurrected on Sunday. Do you see that? You see, because Jesus rode that donkey with a destiny into Jerusalem on that Sunday, Palm Sunday 2,000 years ago, it started a series of things that took him to the cross. Isn't it amazing that a donkey was needed to set in a new world order? And isn't it amazing that a donkey was necessary to begin a series of events that took Jesus to the cross, to create a pathway of redemption for you and I? You see, because of that donkey ride, a way to God was created that did not exist prior to it. You had to be a Jew. You see? And then that didn't always work out well. But because of that donkey ride, on that donkey of destiny, because he rode into Jerusalem on that donkey, a series of things began that now has allowed a pathway of redemption A pathway, redemption, that's churchese. That's the language that we talk in church. You know, redemption, what that simply means is God has got us back. God has made a way for us to get to God and for God to get to us. And that way did not exist until Jesus rode into Jerusalem on that donkey of destiny. How important was that donkey? Pretty important. How important are you? Yeah. See, if God can use anything, He can use me. If that donkey had a destiny, and that donkey was born to do something, I was born to do something. And as Jesus came and established an AD and a BC, so do I. And so do you. As we carry Him into the lives of people, things change from BC to AD. The year of the Lord begins in their hearts and in their lives. And we began a series of events. We start a series of events happening as we carry Jesus into the lives of people. We begin a series of events that take them to the cross of Christ and to resurrection. If God can use anything, He can use us. He continues establishing His new world order. He continues establishing a road and a pathway to redemption. He's still writing. You change calendars, and you create paths and series of events that take people to the cross of Christ. You see, I am a donkey of destiny. Yeah. I know some of you say, I know that's right. You can be a real donkey sometimes. Yeah. And I won't argue with that a bit. I won't. Because anytime Jesus wants to ride on me into cities, ride on me into lives, into hearts, He can use me anytime. He can take my hands. He can take my feet. He can touch my heart. He can speak through me anytime. Anytime He wants to. I am, in that regard, a donkey of destiny. Donkey talk. The scriptures talk about that donkey. You see, I really believe that you and I are created to make a difference. I don't believe we're here to be status quo. We're here to make a difference. Amen. And the scriptures talk about that donkey that Jesus rode. He said, the scriptures say that it was tied. It was tied, but never ridden. You know, I look back at my life, and I was tied, but never ridden. I was bound to debt. I was bound to desires. And though I would bray and hee-haw and buck and kick, I couldn't get free from them. I was bound to stuff like an animal tied to a post. But then one day, Jesus sent some disciples and said, I need Him. I have need of it. I need that guy. I need that girl. I need you. I have need of you. Because I'm going to ride you into a city. I'm going to ride you into lives. I'm going to ride you and around you with me on you and taking you. There's going to be created a praise. There's going to be created a Hosanna, save us. I'd never been ridden in that I had no direction. I had no mentors. I had no guides. No one had ever taken me and put me in a direction. But when Jesus came into my life, all of a sudden, you know, it all came together, and the direction was obvious. I'm taking Jesus someplace, and it's my destiny. How about you? You know, I know that some of you are that way. You're tied to stuff. Desires, lust, debt, problems. And though you've bucked and brayed, and you can't get free. And you never will get free, hear me? You'll never will get free until you let Jesus climb upon you, climb into your heart, and allow Him to ride you to your destiny. It just won't happen. Or you can pull, but you're going to be tied. How about you? Would you do that today? Would you just say, Lord, if you can use a donkey, you can use me. Would you take my hands and my feet? Would you touch my heart and speak through me? See, until you do that, you'll never be free. You'll never have a direction. You're just going to be tied to that post. The Lord needs you today. I was thinking about something. Let me show you the scripture in Luke 19:36. It says this: as he went along, people spread their cloaks on the road. People began receiving Jesus as king before he reached the city. And they began throwing their coats on the road, and they began breaking off branches of trees and waving them and laying those on the road, not for Jesus to walk on. Help me. For the donkey to walk on. The donkey with destiny. I was thinking about that. Would you do that? Would you take your next Sunday's Easter? Would you take your Easter Sunday, you know, coat and throw it out there for a donkey to walk on? So I was asking the Lord, you know, what is this about this donkey walking on this stuff? You see, the donkey had become an extension of Jesus. The donkey was received because Jesus was being received. And a way was made because Jesus was coming. And see, and He'll make certain that you and I have a way into the lives of people and into the cities and into the homes and into the businesses and into the places that you and I go. He'll make certain that there is a way made as long as we're carrying Jesus. And people will lay down and allow you just to come into their lives, into their homes. We become extensions of Him. The Bible talks about that we are extensions of Christ, that we're His body. People want me, not everybody, but a lot of people want me to put my hands on them, just like Jesus would. And pray for them. A lot of people want to spend time with me just to hear what I've got to say because they know that Jesus is there. Not to hear what I've got to say, but to hear what He wants to say through me. A lot of people welcome me to walk into their lives. And they do you too. If you're carrying Him, you become an extension of Him. You become His hands. You become His feet. You become His mouth. See, we have a destiny. And Jesus desires to ride us, to be in our hearts, to be in our lives as we enter cities and homes, as we enter hearts of people. So we go to our businesses. He wants us to carry him in there. We're a people of destiny. We're donkeys of destiny. You know what? I think church should be fun. It is. I think so. Let me read you this passage in Luke 19, beginning at verse 37. When he came near the place where the road goes down to the Mount of Olives, the whole crowd of disciples began joyfully to praise God in a loud voice for all the miracles they had seen. Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest. Some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to Jesus, "Teacher, rebuke your disciples." "I tell you," he replied, "if they keep quiet, the stones will cry out." And when he was come into Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, "Who is this?" And the multitude said, "This is Jesus, the prophet of Nazareth of Galilee." You see, our bringing the presence of Jesus into a city should be a happy thing. It should be a time of joy. It should bring joy. A church should bring joy to a city, not condemnation. Oh, come on, help me, somebody. We ought to bring peace and love and forgiveness and mercy, not condemnation. And, you know, I'm telling you, you're going to the kingdom of heaven. I'm not telling you every day you're going to go to hell. Now, you know, you don't need that nobody to tell you that, right? You don't need people to tell you that. But what I want to tell you is that you're a donkey of destiny and that you've got something to accomplish for Jesus. And he loves you. And he wants to use you. And church should be fun. And it shouldn't be silenced. Come on. Church should not be fun. I mean, start over. Church should be fun. It should not be silenced. Church should be loud. And church should bother the Pharisees. The church that Jesus led was loud. The church that Jesus led, they told him, "Hey, quieten those folks down. Oh, wouldn't that be great?" The church that Jesus led bothered Pharisees. See, when we do it correctly, we praise him correctly, when we bring his presence in correctly, the whole city is moved. Yeah. And people start asking, "Who is this?" You don't have to go looking for them. They start coming to, "Who is this in your heart? Who is this that you're carrying around in your life? Who is this?" And you know what we get to tell them? "This is Jesus." Now, most everyone in that parade knew who he was. But there were some that didn't know who he was. And they didn't understand all the palm branches waving and the la, 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 la. They didn't understand the loud stuff. And they didn't understand the garments of praise being laid down. "Who is this? What's all this noise about?" You see, they were in Judaism. They were in where you had to be quiet when you came to church. "Shh, you'll wake Jesus up." You see, they didn't understand. They knew something was happening. They just didn't know what was happening. I mean, it was obvious something was happening. They just didn't understand exactly what was happening. And they needed something they could relate to. So they said, "This is Jesus. He's the prophet of Nazareth of Galilee." They could relate to that. They knew where Nazareth was in Galilee, you know. And they knew what a prophet was, so they could relate to that. They didn't tell him he was the king. People don't understand that when I tell them that either. They had to have something they could relate to. Now, I want to tell you something, because, you know, sometimes I have to help you guys remember this. But there's the people come in here and they don't understand. And we don't give them a whole lot to relate to. I mean, you know, you go to a foreign country, I'm looking for somebody that speaks English. You know what I mean? And there's not a lot that people relate to when they come here. So we got to help them. We got to give them something they understand. And I have to remind you guys sometimes, listen, let's do a hymn. Come on. You know? Let's do something. Let's help people a little bit. Let's do a nice prayer. Let's do something that people can hook to and relate to. And once they did, they were fine then. Now, I want to say something else about this donkey ride in type. You see, Jesus was not alone in the back of that donkey as he rode into Jerusalem that day. Many others were with him in spirit, in type, on that donkey ride, on that donkey of destiny. Through history, you know, we have observed people that were just as passionate to bring a change to world order as was Jesus. I think of Martin Luther back in the 14s and 1500s. I think of Martin Luther as Martin Luther brought the church out of the Dark Ages and Catholicism into Protestant, protesting the darkness, and brought it in to the light, into partial what we do now. I think of people like that, that were just as passionate, willing to sacrifice all and be crucified if necessary to bring it. I think of the pilgrims, you know, riding across the Atlantic to bring a new world order. I think about the founding fathers and the patriots as they rode to create a new America, which we're so proud and so thankful for today. I think of those kind of people willing to sacrifice and give it all, just as passionate, and on that donkey riding into destiny. Maybe some today might be a George W. Bush, Tony Blair, willing to be crucified politically. But I'm thinking about you and me. How do we equate to that, riding with Jesus into our destiny? See, I believe that we're here to change the order of things. As it were, we ride with Jesus into what God has called you and me to do. See, I don't believe that I exist to stay status quo. I don't believe that I was born to maintain. I didn't ride into this city to maintain church. And since I've been here, there's been some things that's changed. You see, whether you realize it or not, or recognize it or not, we are creating a new world order in this region. Come on. We really are saying, Hosanna. Here comes our King. Save us. We really are riding with Jesus to make a difference. We're bringing a lot of BCs and ADs. Also, we are creating a way, a pathway of redemption. I was talking to someone this week. I asked them, they've been here a while, and I said, what do you think about LifeGate? And the first response was, I love it. And then said, I see so much potential. I see so much that we can do. I see such change that we can be a part of. And do you believe that that would really please the Lord. Do you believe that would really make him happy if this whole region worshiped him and said, here comes the king? If they waved and la 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 and just praised him and worshiped him, would that not make him happy? If we brought in a brand new order of worship and praise and recognizing the church and what church is about, what church is supposed to do, and it's not to condemn, but it's supposed to bring mercy and love and peace and joy, and would that not be good? Is that not what we're here to do? Is that not our destiny? You see, to me, the prayer that we're studying, the Lord's Prayer, you know, your kingdom come, your will be done, help me, on earth as it is in heaven. The kingdom is not supposed to leave. We're supposed to be bringing it right here, right now. It's supposed to be coming to earth as it is in heaven. And that's what we're here to do. That's what we were born to do. How about you? How about you? Have you come to this world to change things? If you're in this church, you probably will. You become very uncomfortable here if you don't want to change. I promise you, next week something will have changed around here. I don't know what yet. I just kind of, Lord, what do you want to change today? We want His kingdom to come. Are you only carrying Jesus or are you riding with Him too? See, I want to ride with Him into change. Then one other thing that I want to talk about before I close. One other event took place on that Sunday morning that we do not hear much about. But as Jesus rode into Jerusalem, He wept and He cried. Let's read that passage in Luke 19, 41 through 44. As He approached Jerusalem and saw the city, He wept over it and said, if you, even you Jews, even you people that should know better, even you church believers, even you Christians, you LifeGate people, if you, even you, had only known on this day what would bring you peace, but now it is hidden from your eyes. The days will come upon you when your enemies will build an embankment against you and encircle you and hem you in on every side. They will dash you to the ground, you and the children within your walls. See, so much of what we do affects our children. They will not leave one stone on another because you did not recognize the time of God's coming to you. Do we recognize how important just a few minutes ago was? The presence of the Lord was so thick in here you could cut it. Do we recognize that God comes to this place and comes to our heart, and He's doing something so special here, something so unique? He started something to change a region. Are we really donkeys of destiny? Are we really riding into things to change things? Are we just holding on, hanging out, hoping He'll come tomorrow? Or are we wanting to see something change? The Greek word for wept is pronounced kleio. It's spelled K-L-A-I-O. And what it means is to mourn, weep, lament. Weeping as a sign of pain and grief for the thing signified. Of those who mourn for the dead. Now, I did a funeral last week. And I saw this. You see, we've all seen people mourn when someone dies. It's nearly uncontrollable. It's something down deep. It's down in the soul, into the spirit. It's into the innermost. It's not emotional only. It's something very, very deep. And the whole body quakes. And tears uncontrollable and groans and moans. See, Jesus didn't just have a sad moment, as our little video showed. Jesus broke inside. He wept. And he didn't weep over the buildings. He wept over the people and their children. He knew what would happen to them, and he was able to look into time. And he knew that in a few years that the Roman armies would come, and the abomination of desolation would take place. Jerusalem would be compassed about, sieged. People and children would die. Josephus records that event, and he said that in that year when that literally happened, when Rome came and the Roman armies compassed Jerusalem about and tore it apart and brought the temple down literally stone by stone by stone, just as Jesus had said it would. He said over 1 million people died. That's a lot of people. 97,000 were taken into captivity, into bondage, slavery. And it was this that Jesus saw and that Jesus spoke of. And he wept. You see, Jesus looks into our future. He looks into your life and my life, and he looks into our church. And for some of us, he's weeping. He loves people. He loves the precious people. He's not concerned about buildings. He's concerned about people. Beautiful, precious people like you. And he looks into your future. He looks into your time. And he recognizes whether you have received his visitation, his coming to you or not. He sees what is going to happen to the children. For so many people, he weeps. Where is his coming concerning you? Is his heart breaking? Or is there rejoicing? Are we donkeys of destiny? Or are we breaking his heart? How about you? Would you allow him to untie you today from the post? From your lust, your desires, the things that hold you so tight? Would you allow him to board your heart? Point you in the direction that he's created for you? And give you a destiny? Are you asking, who is this? I want to tell you, this is Jesus. He is the King. Amen. And you don't have to be tied up anymore. He wants to point you to your destiny. And he wants to ride with you into cities, businesses, into homes, lives, and hearts. He wants to use you. And if he can use anything, he can use me. And he can use you. Where is our church? Where is LifeGate? Are we donkeys of destiny? Are we really carrying him? Are we creating a new world order? Are we creating a pathway to redemption? Are we doing something new, fresh? Or are we just status quo? Are we recognizing the time of his coming? See, he's concerned about you and he's concerned about your children. And I want us to be like that donkey of destiny on this Palm Sunday. I want to carry Jesus Christ into your hearts and every heart I have a chance to. I want to change this region. I want to change this area. I want to create a series of events in the lives of people that take them to the cross of Christ. I want to be right in the very center of His praise. I want to be carrying Jesus and praise be all around. Where people are laying down their lives. Saying, if you can use anything, you can use me. Let's pray. Oh, Jesus. You look into our futures. You see what's going to happen in a few short years. And you know whether or not we receive you or we reject you. Father, I don't want to break your heart anymore. I want to be in the center of praise. I want to be in the center of what you're doing. I want you in my heart. I want to be carrying you every place I go. And so, Father, I know as we've listened to these words today that some hearts have been moved already and touched. And decisions are being made. So, Father, I pray you'll just touch your hearts now. Heads bowed, eyes closed. First of all, I want to ask you, do you want to be a donkey of destiny with me? Do you want to bring Jesus into a region, into a place that needs change, that needs to have a path of redemption explained and expressed, and a place where the King is hosannaed, and a place that says, here He comes, here's the King. This is Jesus, the King. If that's you, would you slip your hand up and say, yeah, man, that's me. That's just, yeah, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. And maybe you're saying, who is this? And maybe you've rejected Him until this moment, but today is the day that you're asking Him to untie you and use you. So He sent me to do this. He sent me to help untie you. This is your moment. This is your destiny. If that's you and you're saying, I'm not going to ask you to come down here, I'm not asking you to do nothing like that. Just want to know. This is my day. This is the day I'm asking Jesus to get into my heart. And allow me to carry Him every place that He wants to go. If that's you, would you slip your hand up and say, yeah, preacher, it's me. You got me. Yeah, I see, yes. Any others? Just wait a second. Any others? Okay. Yeah, good. Thank you. All right. We're going to sing that song again in just a second or two. You can look at me now. But I want to pray for people. You know, what do you need today from Jesus? He wants to ride into you and bring whatever that you need. Healing in your body. The Bible says we can lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. What do you need? You need to be untied for some things. Been tied to a post, tied to bondages, tied to things, and want somebody to help get you loose. We can do that. We can pray about that. What is it that you need Him to do for you today? Let Him board your heart. Let Him move in you. So whatever that it is, I want to give a few moments here for people to come down and be prayed for. So whatever that it is, I want you to be coming as they're playing. We'll pray for you, and we're going to bring the Lord's presence into your life right now, this moment, in Jesus' name. Father, we thank you. We thank you for this time. We ask you, Lord, to move. We ask you, Lord, now to allow people to be touched by you and ministered to by you. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.